This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I got to run to keep rolling, and I'm bound to keep on riding. I've got one more silver dollar.
I'm so sorry.
I'm not gonna let them catch me, no. Not gonna let them catch the midnight rider.
Chris McMahon. Oh. Sports Radio.
Yes, sir! Yes, sir! 12:02 on the fan. I think Eli Manning is closer to the Hall of Fame than me being able to sing that song again. Good Lord, get with it, voice. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. I got you for 5 hours. All the way to the warm-up show, taking your calls. Fliegelman on the other side. Connor Green still hanging out. And today's the day we made it. First off, we made it. It's Friday. The Super Bowl is this Sunday. We'll do a lot on the Super Bowl today. We'll give you the pick for the game, get into some of the different matchups. But we start with, and it's finally here. It's finally here. The conversation that, you know, we've all joked. Here's a little, I'll let you in on the inside of sports radio. And I mentioned, I was talking with Keith there. I don't know if you've heard at the end of the show, but me and Keith were talking. And I mentioned Paul Rosenberg. This is always a joke with Paul Rosenberg producing on the other side. But the joke is always, if the show feels dead, no calls, just have the Is Eli Elite conversation. That'll drum up some phone calls. And that's just been a cliche, a go-to thing, something we have fun with, because it is such a good conversation because, I'm sorry, Giant fans. I think we need to understand this, especially now. It's not a slam dunk that Eli Manning certainly is a first ballot Hall of Famer. And Pete McCarthy just said it in his update, and I agree. The story isn't that Eli Manning did not make the Hall of Fame. Eli Manning is a 500. There are arguments to be made against Eli Manning getting into the Hall of Fame. Eli Manning is an overall 500. He's 117 and 117. He's a 500 quarterback. He has never been, nor ever was, a top three, maybe even top five quarterback in the league at any moment of his entire career. He was never even thought of, whispered, considered in the MVP conversation at all. Eli Manning threw a lot of touchdown passes in this league. Eli Manning threw for a lot of yards in this league. Eli Manning made a lot of money in this league. But Eli Manning's hopes for getting in the Hall of Fame are based on two seasons and two playoff runs and two unbelievable championships, and that they beat the undefeated Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and beat them again in 2011. That is where Eli Manning holds his hope for getting into the Hall of Fame. And I think it's a damn good one. Because those two runs are unbelievably special, especially here the way we view them. I mean, that to beat the undefeated Patriots, as that's as good a championship as this city's ever seen. Forget the Giants. You'd have a tough time telling me there's a Yankee championship better than that one. Like, that is an unbelievable special playoff run and an unbelievable special Super Bowl, keeping Bill Belichick and Tom Brady from being immortal. Like, there's discussion, and maybe we'll have it today at 888-808-1019, where we could make the argument if the Chiefs win on Sunday, that's a three-peat. Where do you put Patrick Mahomes now with Tom Brady? Where do you put this group of Chiefs against that dynasty that was the Patriots? You're not even considering that if there's an undefeated team. If they knock off the 72 Dolphins, we're not even having that discussion yet. The Patriots and Belichick are on another level. Eli Manning kept that from happening. Yes, the defense. Yes, the pass rush. Eli Manning played incredible in those games. But the story isn't that he didn't make it, because there's compelling cases that Eli Manning isn't a first ballot Hall of Famer. The Hall of Fame voting made it very clear that Eli Manning wasn't close to being a first ballot Hall of Famer. They didn't care about the two Super Bowl runs. They didn't care that he's going to be now the only quarterback, two-time Super Bowl MVP, not first ballot Hall of Famer. He is not Bart Starr. He is not Terry Bradshaw. He's obviously not Tom Brady, Drew Brees, his brother, the other quarterbacks of his era, and the other great Super Bowl winners in history. Eli Manning isn't there. He didn't finish in the top 10. There are reports that it's definitely out there that he didn't finish in the final seven finalists. There are reports that he didn't finish in the final 10 cut. Torrey Holt, Luke Kuechly. The NFL voters told you today that Luke Kuechly was closer to being a Hall of Famer than Eli Manning. Luke Kuechly was one hell of a player. Luke Kuechly was a great defensive player, rookie of the year, defensive player of the year. He played like 8 seasons. Eli Manning has 2 Super Bowl MVPs. And he's not in the top 10. And Luke Kuechly is. Like, we could have the discussions on whether or not we believe Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer. And that's what scares me as a Giant fan who wants to see him in the Hall of Fame. He didn't make the top 10, and you look at it next year. Next year, you have Larry Fitzgerald. You have Drew Brees. You have Witten. And you have Philip Rivers. But that's two right there. Fitz and Brees are getting in over him. There's no question. And they're more deserving than he is. So you look at it right now for Eli Manning, it's not even that he didn't get in on the first ballot. Right? We could have that discussion whether or not he deserved to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And whether or not he deserved that for what he's done in this league. And you can't tell the story of the NFL without telling the story of that 2017 Super Bowl and knocking off the undefeated Patriots in that playoff run. But let's be fair, Giant fans. Even if you are the biggest Giant fan out there and the biggest Eli Manning fan out there, and even if you think he deserved to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, this is a guy who overall, and especially after the last Super Bowl, I mean, he's won double digits. He has a team that won double-digit games 4 times in his career. 2005, he won 11 games. 2007, he won 10. 2008, which was the best New York Giant team I've ever seen. I was around for the 90 team, but I don't really remember them. I remember the Super Bowl and the playoff run a little bit, but I don't remember them week to week. 2008, 12 wins. 2010, 10 wins. 2016, I'm sorry, I forgot about 2016, 11 wins. I mean, so he's got a handful of double-digit wins in his long career. And after that final Super Bowl, 9-7, 7-9, 6-10, 6-10, 11-5, 3-12, 5-11, 1-3. He's only won playoff games in the 2 years that they won the Super Bowl. Other than that, he had never won a playoff game outside of those two seasons. And he was never in the top 3 to 4 quarterbacks in the league at any point in his career. I think he deserves to be a first ballot Hall of Famer because of those two playoff runs, because of the longevity, because of the ability to play and never miss a game and be the Iron Man in the NFL. To lead a Giant team on those two unbelievable runs, they're as good. Forget just I mentioned in the city. They're as too good a runs any team has gone on in NFL history. Like, they really are. When you consider where those teams were at different times during the course of the regular season and then what they became as they kept. And think of the quarterbacks he knocked off along the way. He knocks off Tony Romo. He knocks off Brett Favre. He knocks off Tom Brady. He knocks off Aaron Rodgers. He knocks off Tom Brady again. I mean, he beat Tom Brady twice. He beat Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, Tony Romo, Matty Ice. Like, he beat MVPs. He beat Hall of Famers. He beat the greatest quarterback and the best winner the sport's ever seen. Twice. So you can have a debate, and we will if you want, at 888-808-1019 on whether or not he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. That's over with, right? That's over with. But here's the question. When does he get in? Because what they're telling you today is that most of the NFL voters, most of the Hall of Fame voters, lean with the former argument of him not being a Hall of Fame. I mean, I understand that, hey, you get plenty of chances. No, but you don't have to get on the first try. Once he gets in, who cares what year he gets in? Fine. He didn't finish in the top 10. This is, his last name is Manning. He won 2 Super Bowls in New York. He beat Tom Brady twice. He'd be the only quarterback to ever win multiple MVPs in the Super Bowl and not be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And it wasn't close. That's what's shocking to me. This wasn't even a hard decision for the NFL Hall of Fame voters. This is a resounding no. Eli belonged nowhere near the first ballot Hall of Fame. That's what they said. Luke Kuechly is closer to a Hall of Famer than Eli Manning is. That is, and again, you're going to start now. The other thing is, like, again, he played in a great era of quarterbacks. His entire career is with Tom Brady. Most of his brother, Drew Brees, who's going to be there next year, Philip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger. Like, he played with a lot of good quarterbacks. He played in an era of a lot of great quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre. And some of them he's beaten the biggest games on the biggest stage. But they told you those two playoff runs and those two Super Bowl runs and those two championships are nice and it'll probably get him in. But a Manning who played in the biggest city in the country for the New York Giants, won 2 Super Bowls, 2 Super Bowl MVPs, beat the legendary Tom Brady and Bill Belichick twice, and he's not even close. Luke Kuechly is more deserving. And then you look forward to next year, there are two guys who are mortal locks. Fitz and Breeze are getting in. And then you get to Ben Roethlisberger. And Philip Rivers is, and that will tell you a lot. Philip Rivers is going to really tell you what the Hall of Fame voters think. Because that's someone who, if you want to go Sunday to Sunday, you could argue put up better numbers. Was on a better team for a lot of it. There was a lot of talent as his tight end, Gates, got into the Hall of Fame last night. But Rivers put up a lot of big numbers. Rivers, you know, won a lot of games, but obviously Rivers never won the big game, never got to the big game. But let's see what his, does he make the top 10 in his first ballot? And then you're going to get more quarterbacks kind of like, now I'm concerned. I have to admit, I'm concerned. I thought it was going to be a no issue whether he gets in this year, next year, the year after, whatever. Eventually, Eli Manning is going to be a Hall of Famer. And I still kind of feel that way. But to have him not be in the top 10, and then I look at some of the names coming up, and you hear the interviews like leading up to it, there was a lot of buzz that he wasn't getting in. I saw a Mad Dog did an interview, and the guy was like, he was talking to an NFL Hall of Fame voter, and he was just plainly, no, he's not getting in. Like, there was no doubt inside the voting committee. They left no doubt. And I am shocked by it because it's nonsense. Like, you don't want to put him in? Fine. There are names in the top seven and in the top 10 who don't belong there over Eli Manning. Who don't belong there over Eli Manning, who played every single game, who won two of the best Super Bowls the sport's ever seen, went on two of the best playoff runs on the road to beat Hall of Famers in very difficult places to play. Got his ass kicked in the NFC Championship game against the San Francisco 49ers. Made two of the best throws and two of the biggest plays in Super Bowl history. The helmet catch from David Tyree, in my mind, the greatest throw in NFL history to Manningham in the 2011 Super Bowl. That's the best throw in the NFL's history, in my mind. That won them the game. He's looking right the entire time. He turns left for a split second and puts a high-arching 35, 40-yard pass right in the bucket on the sidelines to Manningham. That is a perfect throw in a huge spot to beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And yet, well, Luke Kuechly was pretty good for the Panthers. Like, I am amazed at how the Hall of Fame voting treated Eli Manning. Amazed. I thought there was a chance he wouldn't get in. I thought he would. Going in, I thought Eli Manning was going to get in on the first ballot. To not get in isn't a shock. To not be in the top seven is shocking. To not be in the top 10 is astounding and ridiculous. And I'm starting to get concerned. Although, ultimately, how I feel about it, I'm sure I want it for Eli. I want Eli to have it. I want Eli to have this gold jacket, to be called a Hall of Famer, to be able to feel that, be able to experience that. He deserves it. But ultimately, this is how I've always felt about the Eli Manning conversation, about whether he's a Hall of Famer or whether Eli's elite, that conversation we've been having for decades. I don't give a damn. I really don't care. I don't care what you think. I don't care what the Hall of Fame voters think. I'm a Giants fan. And I thank the good Lord every day that they made that trade. And that Eli Manning, that I got to watch from 2004 to 2019, Eli Manning lead my football team. Because there was nobody tougher. There was nobody better in the big moment. There was nobody better in the fourth quarter. There was nobody I trusted more. And there was nobody I would ever want to lead the New York Giants more than Eli Manning. And Tom Coughlin needs to be there, too. I know that was a discussion in the afternoon. We could have that, too. Tom Coughlin needs to get his ass in the Hall of Fame as well. But I don't care what they think. Eli Manning's a Hall of Famer in my book. Eli Manning was, he brought two of the best championships this city's ever seen. He led this team. He played hurt. He played with, you know, shoulder injuries. He played with all kinds of issues. He played every single week. He gave you his all every single week. He's got two of the great playoff runs and championships we've ever seen. And he deserved better than what he got today. And now I'm concerned about the year after and the year after and the year after. If the Luke Kuechlys of the world are going to be closer to a Hall of Fame than Eli Manning, and you got Fitzgerald and Breeze and Roethlisberger and all these guys upcoming, I don't know if he... I mean, eventually I think he gets in, but it could be a while. 888-808-1019. So we'll start there. We'll have the Eli Manning conversation. Because, listen, again, I think it's fair. There's plenty of points to go against Eli Manning for being a first ballot Hall of Famer. But it wasn't even close. I am shocked. 888-808-1019. We'll get into the, obviously, the Super Bowls. We're here on Football Friday. Leading into the game, a couple of baseball things. Pete Alonso had a meeting with the owner. We'll get into that. Brian Cashman had an interview on Yankees Hot Stove that is getting a lot of Yankee fans all upset about something we already knew. I find the conversation fascinating.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official home to talk New York Giants. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 1226. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. And the Hall of Fame just pissed off all of New York. And honestly, I thought there was a chance he wouldn't get in. And then there was, like, reporting kind of all day. Like, everyone was talking about it. Like, all day the sense was he wasn't going to get in. And that's fine. But, I mean, he didn't come close. And again, it's not the end of the world. At least for, you know, for Giant fans, look, we want it for him. For us, it doesn't matter. We have the memories. But, you know, Willie Anderson, Torrey Holt, Luke Kuechly, and Vinatieri were the other ones in the final seven. With the addition of, obviously, Eric Allen, Jared Allen, Antonio Gates, who got in. Willie Anderson, Torrey Holt, Luke Kuechly. I know Fliegelman tweeted it. We were talking about it. Luke Kuechly. I mean, he's a very good player, solid player. He retired young. He played 8 years. And it wasn't like he was the best defensive player in the league for all eight of them. Like, that is just... And again, next year there's two coming in who are guaranteed mortal locks. Larry Fitzgerald and Drew Brees are in on roller skates. So, I mean, Eli Manning might have to wait several years. He might have to wait several years. And the Hall of Fame made a very, like, to me, this was a, like, it's only really interesting to me because the debate has been so, like, we've had this debate, is Eli elite for forever? Like, dating back to when he was still playing. And, you know, it's a fair question. You got to be reasonable. Like, it's fair. He was never even considered for the MVP. He only won playoff games in the 2 years that they went to the Super Bowl. It's not, he finishes his career as a 500 quarterback. Like, it's fair. But the NFL Hall of Fame voters, they didn't say, hey, look, this is a close one. I could see both sides. They said, no, no, not now. Luke Kuechly, linebacker for the Carolina Panthers. More deserving. It's crazy. Let's get to the calls. Mike in Monroe, what's up, Mike?
Chris, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy. What's up?
I blame a lot of going on in sports, I blame on two things, numbers and nerds.
Uh-huh.
And those two things... People cannot look at, to quote the late, great Gorilla Monsoon, Eli had intestinal fortitude. He had guts. He was a gamer.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of saying, you know, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, now they're going to, you know, next year they'll drool over Philip Rivers' fantasy quarterback numbers that he put up.
That will be an interesting... If Philip Rivers, and I don't know if he gets in first ballot either. I don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. But, I mean, if it feels like he gets more votes or he's in the top seven and Eli's not, just anything like that, like it's, or if he gets in before Eli, that's absurd.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I know Eli's, you know, the problem is he wasn't a fantasy quarterback, but he was tough as nails. He won the biggest games. You said it, made the biggest throws. I'm just sick of it in all sports, man. Just the same thing with Alonso. We can't pay him. Then I see the guy hitting a huge home run in the playoffs. People are just not, you know, there's gamers. There's guys that are gamers. And they might not have the numbers, you know, in the analytics, but there's a difference. You know when a guy is a gamer, and it's just overlooked way too much now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much... Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's overlooked now. I mean, you'd have to... And I don't want to tweak the Jet fan, but like, it's always been about numbers on some level. It's always been about winning, and certainly for quarterbacks, right? Quarterbacks are supposed to win, and we're talking about a quarterback. But, like, I mean, if you look at the numbers, maybe at the time they were better, but, like, Joe Namath, that game, because of its impact, I think that has... He gets into the Hall of Fame... mainly because of Super Bowl III. But other than that, I mean, it's not like playing every game gets you into the Hall of Fame. You got to put up numbers. You got to be great. And to be fair, like, again, I don't want to argue because I agree that he should be in the Hall of Fame. And I don't feel like bad mouthing Eli Manning all over the place. But, like, if you look, like, you say he's a gamer. I get it. He lost every big, he lost every other game, every other playoff game except those years. Like, he lost to the Eagles. He lost to Carolina. He lost, like, he just lost. Right? He loses to Carolina. He loses to Philadelphia, and he loses to Green Bay. Like, that's it. Those are the only, he made the playoffs. He played from 2004 to 2019, and he made the playoffs five times. He made the playoffs five times. And he only won, he won two Super Bowls. Granted, like, doesn't matter. Right? Two Super Bowls is enough. Aaron Rodgers made the playoffs a hell of a lot more than five times, only has one Super Bowl. To me, if you draft, or I know the Giants technically traded for him, but if you bring in a quarterback to run your franchise and he's here for 10 to 15 years and he wins you two Super Bowls, massive, massive success. Hall of Fame type success. Depending on how good he was. But yes, success. But, I mean, if you're being a little bit fair, you would expect to be in the playoffs a little bit more than five times in all those years. And then in the end, it was really bad. And I wonder if he would have just if he would have retired after that second Super Bowl and not had this, the second half, or, you know, last third of his NFL career, would it have impacted, you know, how much of that losing impacted him? But, yeah, I mean, that's, let's be fair. You call him a gamer. I get that. He didn't win a lot of games. Just to be fair, he was never, the Giants were never, like, when you have Ben Roethlisberger, right? Let's just use the quarterbacks of his era. When you have Tom Brady, you have Ben Roethlisberger, you have Drew Brees, or you have Aaron Rodgers, or you have his brother, right? Just let's go with those five. How many times did they win 12, 13 games? How many times did they go to the playoffs? How many times did they play in NFC championship games, AFC championship games? And you could tell me the Giants weren't good enough. You think the Colts always had the best roster? You think Drew Brees and the Saints were always this, you know, unbelievably talented? They win. Quarterbacks win. Eli Manning didn't win enough to really be that lock, no doubt, Hall of Famer. You look at the other names on the list of the two MVPs that I mentioned, and now he's the only one who didn't get in on the first ballot. Terry Bradshaw, Tom Brady, Joe Montana, Bart Starr. Look at how many wins they had. Look how many dominant teams they had. Look how many great seasons they had. Look how many playoff wins they have. Look how many, you know, like, Eli's not there with them on any other level other than he won the game twice and had two unbelievable playoff runs. And for me, that's good enough. And I do think it should have made him a first ballot Hall of Famer. But it's not necessarily that, oh, all we care about is numbers and it's a gamer and this or that. You say, oh, he always won the big game. He couldn't get a single playoff win other than those 2 years. Robert in Stamford. What's up, Robert?
Hey, Mr. McMonagle.
Yes, sir.
Something about your last name, man. You know what I'm saying? But anyway.
Yes.
You hit it on the head with Eli and the other quarterbacks comparing, like, not winning enough games and whatnot. You know, I used to say, like, to myself, I said, if he gets in first, I said, Robert Horry has to get in. Now, I know it's apples and oranges, but.
Yeah, that's not the same.
Robert Horry has seven, more than Jordan. But.
Yeah, but
only
Robert Horry. Robert Horry wasn't the Eli Manning's the quarterback of the team. You're talking about,
right?
You know, maybe he was a big piece of the The Rockets.
Every last one of them.
Which, by the
every,
way, I just saw a clip. I don't. It's funny you mentioned Robert Horry.
He was a freshman. First and second year.
Yeah, no, with the Rockets. Yeah, but they right. And before they ever won in 1994, they tried to trade him.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. I just saw this clip because I guess it's the trade deadline or whatever. They tried to trade him for somebody with the Pistons. I forget the name, and he failed his physical. And then they ended up having to hold on to him, and he ends up winning the championship that year, and then the next year. It was 1994. They tried to trade him.
Right.
How weird. I just saw that. So, nice. I mean, but yeah, and then, I mean, then he's
the rings that he has.
He's
you know
a hang.
Like,
he's not an important piece of the Lakers or the Spurs. Right. I mean, he had a couple big shots.
Well, the thing is, when you look at his numbers, he only averaged 7 points for a career.
Yeah.
So Rob, I'm sorry. It's tough, Rob.
I mean, you're talking about the quarterback of the team.
Yeah, some people go by rings, though. It's not always rings, though, too. You know what I mean? But let me tell you this. I don't understand, because I'm not here to argue with him either. Like, to be honest, I'm a Dallas fan. But that guy is tougher than the last two quarterbacks we had, which is Dak Romo and Tony Prescott. They're carbon copies of each other. That's why I name them like that. He's tougher than both of those guys. I'd rather have him on a big date any day.
Absolutely.
As a Dallas fan.
Oh,
you know
absolutely. No, I much. And listen, Eli Manning also had a bunch of fourth quarter comebacks. From the first Super Bowl win, right? From the moment they went on that run in 2007, when they caught fire at the end of that year, made the playoffs, and then obviously go through that run. From that moment until, I don't know, 2010 maybe? Or through that, in between the two, let's just call it in between the two Super Bowls. From the beginning of the first Super Bowl run till the last Super Bowl run, those 4 or 5 years, you look at his numbers in the fourth quarter, like, there was a stretch there for a couple of years where Eli, you just knew, if Eli had the chance to win a game late, he was going to do it. That's the feeling I had. I mean, I'm not trying to say Eli Manning wasn't a great quarterback. I'm just trying to be fair. I'm trying to be fair about the whole thing, and I'm trying to give the, because I think we're all going to be upset, and I am too, on some level, and I think it's ridiculous that he's not even close. But I just want to preface it, like, I understand there's a level that first ballot Hall of Famers you would like to see. Like, we talk about the weakening of the Hall of Fame. We do it a lot with Major League Baseball. But, I mean, all these Hall of Fames kind of let guys in who I don't know. You know, you really would love to see the Hall of Fame be the real, just, you know, the upper echelon of the very few who are just incredibly talented. And I could understand that someone with that high grading system could say, I don't know if Eli Manning's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, I could get it. You could sell that on me. There's plenty to say. Like, if you are a firm, strong grader, and you're like, listen, Eli had those two runs, and I respect the hell out of it, and he did win two Super Bowl MVPs, and ultimately, 1 year, I might vote for him. But I do put a reverence on first ballot. I've got other guys here I could vote for, or I just don't view Eli Manning as a first ballot Hall of Famer. There is an argument to be made for that case. There is not an argument to be made that you feel Luke Kuechly is more. There is not an argument to be made that he's not in the top 10. This was a resounding. Eli Manning is not a first ballot Hall of Famer. The is Eli elite? Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer conversation we've all been having on and off at different times for whatever reason over the last 10 years? That was answered very loud and very clearly by the Hall of Fame voters. And the answer is, no, he's not. And he's not close. And you were all wasting your breath having the conversation for all those years because we don't deem him to be that. He's a good guy. He's funny. He's doing great work on television after he's retired. He played every game, and he won two great Super Bowls, and ultimately, eventually, he might get in. But is he the upper echelon of NFL quarterbacks? No, he's not. Steve in Long Island. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
Like, you got it.
I'm just agreeing with what you just said at the end. I thought at the beginning you said he should have gone in. Look, I'm a big Giant fan, and I liked Eli a lot. From the way he played, if he got batted around, he never said a word. With all that being said, though, again, if it wasn't for the two Super Bowls, his stats bear out as like maybe slightly better than average, but not outstanding. And I would think that the Hall of Fame should be for outstanding ball players.
Yeah.
Now, a guy like Dan Marino, for example, he never won a Super Bowl, but I'd have to say he dwarfs Eli in performance throughout
a career.
Of course.
No, I don't think anyone would argue that Dan Marino is a better quarterback than Eli Manning, even though Eli has the two Super Bowls. I don't think anyone would even argue it.
But I would hope he gets in. But if I was, even though he's as big of a Giant fan as I am, if I was just unbiased, I'd say he's not. He's really not a Hall of Famer. I know he won the two games, but a lot of that, he just didn't win it single-handedly. If it wasn't for him,
no.
I mean, if that defense didn't shut down, Brady and the high-octane offense,
right,
he never would have won. So all he had to really
do. You could say that about every champion ever. I mean, even Tom Brady. Tom Brady doesn't win the first Super Bowl if they don't shut down the greatest show on turf. He doesn't win against Seattle if they don't get the turnover at the 1 yard line. They don't win against the Falcons if the defense doesn't cause turnovers and Shanahan doesn't decide to keep throwing the ball in the second half. They don't win a lot of games if it wasn't for the defense. Even the second Rams win in one of the uglier Super Bowls we've ever seen, they didn't put up any points. How's the defense won that game? I mean, you can say that about everyone as far as the games go. Eli Manning made all the plays. Eli Manning in the first run went into Lambeau and played in the elements. I mean, it was brick. It was freezing cold. And he outperformed Brett Favre, who didn't lose in the cold. And he was throwing bullets all over the place. And him and Plaxico dominated that game. The defense was great. They get the interception that sets up the field goal. Right? The run game, the first run of the game, Brandon Jacobs lays the wood to the linebacker and sets the tone for that whole game. But don't forget Eli Manning throwing bullets to Plaxico that entire game. And then in the Super Bowl, I mean, he avoids that sack. Did they win that game more because of the defense? Sure. But he made every play. He avoids that sack for the Tyree throw. And then he gets the good look to Plaxico and lays it up perfectly to win the game. And then in the second run, he gets his ass kicked in the NFC Championship game. He's getting absolutely killed by that Niners defense. And he keeps getting up and making plays. And then in the Super Bowl, again, to me, and maybe I'm biased, but you'd have to show me another one and tell me how it's better. When you take into account the scenario and where they were, I think his throw to Manningham on the sidelines is the best throw in NFL history. When you just consider he's looking the other way, it's a quick look, he sees Manningham, he launches it, it's 40 yards on this high arcing pass that lands perfectly in his hands. And I'll never forget, my favorite thing about that play is it gets reviewed after, Manningham makes a great catch, toe touch. It's getting reviewed. And I haven't seen it since when I watched the highlights, but I remember watching it live. And Tom Brady, they had a video of Tom Brady on the sidelines. And he's watching the replay on the big screen. And you could see as he's watching it, his face, he gets dejected. And he mouths it to himself. He's like, it's a catch. That's what he did to Tom Brady. That's what he did to Bill Belichick. Like that throw alone. Like that's how the NFL is. It's about winning. It's about big moments. Winning those two championships, it's significant. But there is the other side of, hey, he played for a ton of years. He won double-digit games five times. He went to the playoffs five times in his NFL career. He never won a playoff game outside of that. Those two runs. He was never a top five quarterback in the NFL at any point in his career. There are arguments, but I mean, I'm just surprised how they handled it. Steve in Long Island, what's up, Steve?
Hey, C-Mac. It's always great to speak to you.
Thank you.
Not a first. He's not a first round Hall of Fame.
He certainly, I mean, that question's now answered. He certainly is not.
No way. But I look at it, I agree with you. I feel that it should be the Peyton Mannings, the Tom Brady's, the Terry Bradshaw's, the Joe Montana's. Patrick Holmes will be a first round Hall of Famer. The elite of the elite belong in the Hall of Fame. But if you're going to water it down, if you're going to have a Kurt Warner in the Hall of Fame, then Eli Manning deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. That's the way I look at it.
I guess, but Kurt Warner was better than Eli Manning.
I don't think so. I don't think
he
so.
He won MVPs.
Kurt Warner played on an incredibly talented offensive team with the Rams, with a great offensive mind as the offensive coordinator. When he was at the Giants, he did nothing with them.
He won five games. Then he went to the Cardinals, and he took another franchise back to a Super Bowl. Again, you're not wrong. There's talent there. Obviously, the greatest show on turf, but... You know, part of it was him. You know, Green wasn't exactly getting that out of the players. Like, it took him becoming the starting quarterback to make that the greatest show on turf. He was incredible, sure. I mean, yeah. They had a lot of talent on that team. Marshall Faulk, Torrey Holt, you know, absolutely. But he won MVPs. He was the best quarterback in the league. Eli Manning was never the best quarterback in the league, ever. Ever. Doesn't make me happy to say so. It's just a fact. He was never, like, he didn't play long enough. That's the knock on Warner. He didn't play enough. He came in late. You know the story. He was bagging groceries or whatever. Like, he came in late to the NFL. But, I mean, if you were picking a quarterback for one game, I'll take Eli Manning. Maybe I would. If I was starting a season and I had to pick a quarterback to go, how do you not pick Warner in his prime over Eli Manning? Peter in Brooklyn, what's up, Pete?
Hey, Chris. Good morning. I couldn't agree with you more. But you know what the thing is? Eli beat the greatest quarterback ever twice.
That's it. That's it. That's what's bothering me. Like, ultimately, all the other stuff I'm saying is nonsense. I mean, I shouldn't say that, but you know what I'm saying. Like, everything else is noise. That's the better term. Everything else is noise. The fact of the matter is, Eli Manning won two Super Bowls, and he beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick twice, including...
When they were at their peak, though, and, yeah, that's the thing.
No doubt. Including
like
the
Brady
best
was on
version.
Downside and Eli got lucky.
Not including the best version of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. The best team they ever had. But better than any other team they had, better than any other Super Bowl winning team they had, the best team that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick ever had was prevented from becoming the last undefeated team and beating the 72 Dolphins. Eli Manning is what stopped that. And for that fact alone, the idea that Luke Kuechly was closer to getting into the Hall of Fame than Eli Manning is pissing me off.
100%. Not to take and forget about the Super Bowls.
Yeah.
That he beat the greatest quarterback ever twice. Like you were talking about, the game in Frisco in the NFC Championship game, he got his butt handed to him, and he won that game. He beats one of the greats, Brett Favre, in Lambeau in negative 19-degree weather.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And it's not like they had the defense that Sims had. In my opinion,
right.
He's the greatest Giant quarterback ever.
Oh, I agree. He's the best Giants quarterback ever. There's no doubt. And yeah, the wins, not only is it Tom Brady, he beats Brett Favre in Lambeau with the weather. You're 100% right. He goes and beats the 15-1 defending Super Bowl champion, Aaron Rodgers led Green Bay Packers in Green Bay. I mean, he beats the one seed Dallas Cowboys with Tony Romo. You could not have had better runs. You could not have knocked off better names. I mean, that's it. He beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick twice, including their best team ever. And Luke Kuechly got more Hall of Fame votes. That's what's bothering me. I'm okay with him not getting in. I'm okay. I can live with it. I didn't think I was going to be this annoyed today. I thought I'd be okay. Whatever happens, he doesn't get in, he gets in. If he gets in, great. If he doesn't, okay, I'm sure he'll get in soon. He's not close. He played every game for the New York Giants from 2004 to 2019. I don't care about that nonsense in 2017 where he missed a couple games. Or they took him out for Geno Smith. I'm not going to, whatever. Yeah, right. He missed it because Ben McAdoo was a moron. I'll never forget that. I have to, let's just talk about that for a second. I will never forget. You want to talk about disrespect? Ben McAdoo, who I think had a chance to be a decent coach. He had no idea how to stop it once the ball went rolling in the wrong direction and the team started giving up on him. But I'll never forget, it was like a Wednesday. It was like Tuesday or Wednesday, and he was talking after practice. And he went through all of the inactives or the guys who didn't work. You know, he was like, whatever, you know, he was like, this one's on the bike, this one, you know, missed practice, this one just did walkthrough, blah, blah, blah. And Geno Smith's going to be the quarterback on Sunday. Any questions? Like, I was like, what? Like, they didn't make any acknowledgement of what was happening. Like, they didn't take any real care. He was hoping he could sneak it in during the injury report on a post-practice press conference on a Wednesday. Instead of just, like, you knew it was going to be a massive story. Eli Manning started every game of his career. It was going to be a story. And he's like, this one's hurt, that one practiced. This one, you know, did a walkthrough. And by the way, Geno Smith will be the quarterback on Sunday. I mean, that's what got him fired. But I don't even talk about that. Eli Manning played every game as a New York Giant in the biggest market for a premier franchise, beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick twice, went on two of the great playoff runs we've ever seen, and he's not in the top 10. And next year gets just as hard. 888-808-1019. We'll continue to take your Eli Manning calls. I know Giant fans are probably upset, no more upset than the people who have to listen to my voice. I'm very sorry. I can hear it now. The longer I go, I need more breaks. The longer I go, the worse it gets. I'm trying. And I'm with you tomorrow, too. 8 to midnight. Extra. This is the day I want to work, the week I want to work 6 days. I actually don't feel that today. I feel much better, but the voice is still, I'm dealing with it. We'll still take your Eli Manning calls. We'll get more into the game. We can have a discussion about what this, you know, and this is what I hate about it. But what the hell? Let's get into all the things we hate. Let's talk about how important Saquon Barkley is going to be in this game. And let's talk about the legacy of Patrick Mahomes. And let's talk about the legacy of Andy Reid. And what a three-peat would mean in comparison to the great Tom Brady. Let's do it. Let's have some fun. Does a three-peat put him right there with Tom?
You just named a bunch of first ballot Hall of Famers.
Yes, I did.
Saquon, Reed, Mahomes, Brady.
Is Saquon already a first ballot Hall of Famer?
The way the NFL media talks about him,
I know. That's true. But yeah, no. Let's find out. Let's get into the game. Again, there's a little bit of baseball, a meeting with Pete Alonso that turned the tide for officially signing him. And Brian Cashman openly revealing that Gleyber Torres refused to move to third base. And people are pissed about it.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. Or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on.
5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.